So I want us to kind of look at the person of Luke first in the context here. And now Luke, it's interesting, the Gospel of Luke, and he gives a little different perspective to the Christian faith. When you read through it, you can see that. And so as we identify Luke, we want to know who is this man? Who is this man that is coming forward and the Lord is using him to write this gospel? Now here's an interesting fact about Luke. Luke is the only non-Jewish author in the Bible, with the exception maybe of Job. Okay, I'm not sure about Job. I'm not sure where, you know, how Job falls in that. So of all the authors, if God used the inspired word of God, he's used, I believe that Luke is the only non-Jewish. He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile. And so that's interesting. And not only is Luke a Gentile, he is writing this letter to another Gentile, Theophilus. All right? Do you know Theophilus? I don't know if you listen to that. That's not a Jewish name, Theophilus. So Luke is writing, is a non-Jewish person, a Gentile. He's writing it to another Gentile, Theophilus. And therefore, you have this setting, as we look at this, you really have someone, in a sense, in a biblical sense, as the scriptures are presented, in a sense, you have someone on the outside looking in. Okay, as far as understanding this, he was a believer, so he was on the inside, but culturally, he was really on the outside looking in of this great movement of Christianity, and he is trying to explain it to another outsider. So you can see what, you know, it gives us a perspective of how this was written, of how it was written. That's consistent with Matthew and Mark and John. They all have their little differences. But that's something that's about Luke. It's important for us to understand. He's kind of the outside looking in, what's happening, and explaining it to someone else who's kind of on the outside looking in. Now, what Luke was doing, Luke is investigating. Luke is investigating Christianity. He's investigating Christianity, especially, and this is important, especially Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So you've got Jesus coming on the scene, changing the world, and you've got the power of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus, and both of these things are totally unfamiliar to Luke. So when he's looking at Christianity and what's happening and investigating it, he is specifically looking at Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we look at that, and we're going to see how he comes to these different conclusions and how he reveals it to us. So just that perspective, we can see the difference. Now, this is all reflected. This is all reflected in Luke's introduction, all right? So we have this information. Now look at the introduction that Luke has, and we see it is a letter to Theophilus. So if we have an overhead for this, Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. Chapter 1, verse 1. As much as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. So he says, many have been compiling, all these things have happened, and people have compiled these things, and they were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. So he acknowledges, you know, that he's in this mix, and so he's part of what's happening, that they're trying to have an explanation of what's happening. Then we go to the next verse, Luke chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. So this is an introduction. And then Luke says this, "It seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning." Now those words are important, is it in connection with the book of Luke. You don't see that, in other words, in other books of the New Testament. Okay? Is they're spreading the good news and they're telling what God is doing. But Luke is unique here, is he's saying, this seems fitting for me, having investigated. He looked this, he examined. He looked all these things out. He's trying to figure this out. Having investigated everything carefully from the very beginning to write it out for you in consecutive order. This man's all about order. Okay, anybody about order? Luke's about order, okay? He's writing this out in consecutive order. Most excellent Theophilus. So he's telling Theophilus, I'm writing you an orderly account. Most excellent Theophilus. This is his friend, his Greek friend. So that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So evidently, they've introduced Theophilus to the Lord. He's accepted the Lord. Okay, he's born again, and Luke wants to write him a letter and explain everything that happened. Theophilus goes, oh man, I love Jesus, and he's changed my life, and this is really exciting, but man, what happened? How did all this come about? And Luke says, here's the letter. I investigated. So I'm going to tell you, you know, from A to Z, what had happened, what has happened here, the things that you have been taught. Now, so there's a picture. So as we move into Luke, we see where he is coming from. Now, there's a note here. After completing the investigation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Luke. By the way, it's a long gospel, all right? It's the longest of the gospels. Okay, so after he has completed this investigation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Luke, Luke writes another book. You know, I think I'd be done with the gospel, you know, but he writes another one. And he, the next book Luke writes is the book of Acts. Book of Acts and book of Luke go together. So the next book Luke writes is the book of Acts. And in Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Acts, we see Luke investigating how Jesus continues his teaching, impacting all believers, thus creating the church. So he's going his process. This is one letter, you know. It's going to take you a while to read this one. And then he writes this other letter, the book of Acts. I mean, these guys were wicked letter writers, all right? So, but that's what this is. So what do we have here in Acts 1:1? We see very similar what happened in Luke 1. The first account I composed... What was the first account he composed? Luke. The first account I composed, Theophilus, see he's writing the same guy, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, I want us to look at something here. Key word is began. It's began. We think, hey, we finished Luke, we're done. Not even close. The key word is began. The book of Luke reveals what Jesus began. What he began. Today, Jesus continues what he began. See? And what Jesus did through the Holy Spirit in the book of Luke, he continues to do in the church today. You see what I'm saying? There's no break. He said, okay, this is Jesus, finished the letter. Now that's what he began to do. Now we're going to kick it off. And this is how he's continuing to work in Acts, in the church. So there's no break. There's no stop. It's a continuing. Now, so we see this picture that he's unfolded this far. We get the history about it. Some people enjoy history of things more than others, but it's still good to have the history of it. So you have the context when you look at this. And you look and see how Luke is approaching it, and you can appreciate it and how it impacts us. Now, so what else do we know about Luke and his investigation? Now, I think it's important to look at it. Luke was the perfect man to carry out an investigation. Perfect man. Because he's a man of detail. He's a man of detail. Wouldn't it be important to do an investigation, have a man of detail? And how do I know he's a man of detail? He was a doctor. How if you went to the doctor and examined you, says, just looks you over and says, take whatever. You know, here's four or five pills, grab a bottle. You know, one of them's bound to work, you know. They do an operation, you know, say, hey, come over here and just kind of forget something, you know, and just kind of, we'll just cut here. I don't know. I think this is it. You know, you want some detail, right? You want some detail. See, and so he's a doctor. He's a man of detail. And so he writes the longest gospel. He writes the longest book in the New Testament. And that's just one. He writes two of them. And the two of them almost compile the fourth of the New Testament. So the good Dr. Luke can do some detail, all right? So if you get sick, he's a good guy to go to. He'll see some detail. So Luke is what we have. We find that he's a physician, and we see that in Colossians 4:14. So it says Luke, Paul refers to Luke. Luke, the beloved physician greets you. The beloved physician. So that's how Paul refers to Luke, is the beloved physician. Now what we know about him is that Luke was a doctor. He was well educated. He was well educated. And he wrote in excellent ancient classical Greek. Okay? And we know that because of the book of Luke. It's excellent ancient classical Greek. It really is stunning of how the capacity he had for ancient Greek language. So that's one thing. Educated, doctor, wrote an excellent Greek language. And here's another significant point about Luke and its connection in the writing and his closeness to it. Luke was a personal friend of the Apostle Paul. And he traveled with the Apostle Paul. In fact, at the end of Paul's ministry, in the very last letter that Paul writes, Paul refers to Luke's loyal companionship. He's with him. Once he starts, he's with him to the very end. And you see in 2 Timothy 4:11 where Luke has been, Paul has been totally deserted by most of the people who were with him. And he writes this letter and he says, Luke alone is with me. So here's this. So we have this picture of this man. This is who wrote Luke. This is the connection. So we have something going on here that's a little different than the rest of them. And so we can see how he approaches it. Now, as we look at this, there's something, and we're, as we process through this, how did Luke carry out this investigation? And if we, a careful examination of the book of Acts, the second book, careful examination of the book of Acts, we can determine when Luke joined with Paul. He wrote Acts, but if we look closely by his language, we can tell when he joined up with Paul. And so if you look at Acts 16:10, we can tell here. It says this. Luke is writing, and he's been writing about Paul. He's been writing about Christ. He's been writing about the church. And then he says in Acts 16:10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, who? They? We. Now, that's the first time we is used. It's always they. It's always Paul. But here it's we. Luke is with Paul here. And this is where he saw the vision of Macedonia. And this is where he went from Turkey into Greece. And so Luke is with Paul at this time. And he remains with Paul, evidently clear to his death. So we have an eyewitness account from this point on. So and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From this time, Luke traveled with Paul and personally observed the supernatural, miraculous growth of the church. He saw it. He witnessed the whole thing. It's moving into the world. You see the church growing and transforming people. Now, bear with me. I mean, a little more history, a little more facts, then we understand what's happening here, what's happening with Luke as we look at this, all right? We also have another insight here that impacted Luke's investigation, okay? Late in Paul's ministry, after Luke met Paul, late in Paul's ministry, he was imprisoned for 2 years in Caesarea. Caesarea is just north of Jerusalem. So Paul went back there and he's put in prison for 2 years. Now, where's Luke? Paul's in prison, okay? Just above Jerusalem in Israel, and he's in prison. So Luke never left him. He didn't say anything about Luke where he was, but we know Paul was in prison. This would have been the same area, Caesarea, just north of Jerusalem. This would be the same area where the mother of Jesus most likely would still be living. Ever happened? Wonder what happened to Mary? I mean, she lived all her life right there in Israel, around Jerusalem, her whole life. There's no records. You can't be for sure. You know, she was with the apostles at the beginning. You would assume she stayed there. That's where her family was. That's where everyone else was. So here we have Luke in prison in that place. We have Paul in prison in that place. And he's in the same area where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is living, along with many other people who would have witnessed the ministry of Jesus, would have seen Jesus, talked to Jesus, and witnessed his ministry. It's the same time frame, because it wasn't that long. There wasn't that much separating them. So it would not be a stretch. It would not be a stretch to believe that during this two-year time, Luke was actively investigating what's going on. I mean, Paul's in prison. What else you got to do? All right? So he investigates what's actually going on to all these eyewitnesses. And you see this, so he's actively investigating these wall witnesses, and he's talking to first-hand witnesses. You think about it. He's talking to first-hand witnesses, including Mary. I think he talked to her. I think he talked to her. Look in Acts 24:27, it says this. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. So there, it's 2 years. And he just left him in prison. But the point of it is, why we want to look at this here, Luke is there. Luke is there. And he has these associations, and he's investigating all these things, people who personally encountered Jesus. Now, this would explain something else about Luke. I mean, you follow me. I don't know. Talk to the eyewitnesses. He talked to people who were there. He had 2 years because he's trying to figure all these things out. He's investigating this. Now, this would explain something about Luke, the Gospel of Luke, because Luke records the events. Luke records the events only in Luke. Somebody brought me up a glass of water, and that's, thank you. I'll pause. Only in Luke do we have the events of John the Baptist. It's only Luke. We have the events of John the Baptist. Only in Luke do we have the events of the leading up to the birth of John the Baptist. So you have the parents of John the Baptist are revealed, and you have the events of John the Baptist revealed. Luke is the only one that records these. Also, we learn in Luke chapter 1, verse 36, that Mary, Jesus' mother, is a relative of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. So it's like, you know what? Just kind of an offhanded statement. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is related to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. That means that Jesus and John the Baptist were related. Isn't that fascinating? So, but we only see that in Luke. No one else in the Bible records that. I think for 2 years that Luke made some connections and he got that information and he records it. And not only that, where all the great things we do at Christmas about the wonderful Christmas story and all the details about the angel visiting Mary and all that thing, everything focused on Mary, it's in Luke. It's Luke. So you have the details of Mary's life and the details of Jesus in the book of Luke. I don't think it's a far stretch to think Luke talked to Mary. she was the only one who would, I wouldn't say she's the only one who knew this, but she would be the only one who knew the details of this. And we're going to see this as we go through Luke, because it's very personal. And even a lot of scholars will say, Luke is written from Mary's perspective. From Mary's perspective. I believe Luke talked to her, so he had an idea of what was going on there. Now here we go and just kind of culminate this for this introduction purposes. Over the next few months, we're going to walk with Luke. We're going to walk with Luke as he gives his orderly account of this investigation. But before we do that, and I mean, we're going to have fun as we go through this, and we're going to look at the different things of how the Holy Spirit is manifest with John the Baptist, how it's manifest with Jesus, and how it's carried out all through the Scripture. We're going to see how all those fit together, and we're going to see how it applies and how the power of God was revealed. The fulfillment of the whole Old Testament happened, and we're going to see that in the magnitude of what that is as we go through Luke. And it really is fascinating. But now before we do that, and again, this morning you get the introduction. The introduction. I want us to go back to Acts 1:1. Acts 1:1. Because when we look at Luke, and I think sometimes when we look at the Gospels, we have this vision, okay, this is what happened to Jesus. Okay, this is what Jesus did. And oh, I wish Jesus was here now to help me in this situation. And, you know, this was past what God did. This was past tense how God moves. And I think what the Bible actually tells us is no, this is present tense. This is how Jesus moved through the Holy Spirit. This is how he fulfilled all things. And this is how he continues to move in the church today. That we can read the Gospel of Luke and we can see the truth of it, of how he applies to each one of us today and the power of Christ as he works through each one of us today. And again, look at what it says. You have all the information of Luke, okay? All the Gospels do the same thing. They come up, they end at the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus is at the throne at the right hand of God. Amen? And we said, we're done. Look what Acts says. Look what Acts says. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began. He didn't stop. He went to heaven. He was resurrected, but it began. It's just like an accumulating roll. It's what he began, and he is finishing it out. He is finishing it out in the book of Acts. Because it was all he began to do, and he began to teach. But he's in heaven, the right hand of the throne. Certainly had some visitations, but it's what he began to do and began to teach. And so what we see here is the foundation laid by Jesus in Luke is the beginning of his actions and his teaching to be continued in the church throughout all the ages by the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit, which is revealed in Acts. It's not past tense. It's almost, I don't want to overstate it, but it's almost like blasphemy to put it is past tense. And to put Acts is past tense. It's just a continuing revelation. Jesus never stopped working. He never stopped revealing himself. And he never stopped acting. There's not one verse in the Bible that says he stopped any of those things. And so what happens, it comes down to who we are today. Who are we doing? I hope you appreciate my history, okay? And it's like, no, I didn't like it at all. And I hope you don't ever do that again, some of you are thinking. But it's not history. See, it's not. That's the thing about the Bible, and that's the thing what we're going to see in Luke. It's not history. It's current events that are unfolding to this day and how the church is supposed to work today, all right? And I think it's just a lie by the evil one to put it in the past tense. And then what it does is put us in a position of weakness today. That's what happens. Where are all, not all of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, where are the verses that say, ask anything in my name and I will do it? Where are those verses? They're in the Gospels. You put them in past tense, and it's like, well, we just pray, and I just hope something works out. Well, you know, man, I wish it would work out like Jesus did. But, you know, right now we're past Jesus, and, you know, we're in another dispensation, and we'll just see what happens, and I'll just have faith in God and hope for heaven. See? That's not. That's a lie of the evil one. We stand here in power. Ask anything in my name, I will do it. It says, nothing is impossible to you. All those things are in the Gospels. They're in the Gospels. And so you try to isolate those. No, it's not. And it says, if anyone asks anything, who's an anyone? You know, I want a hand raised of an anyone, you know? See, all of a sudden, and nothing is impossible. And you read those things. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. I believe everything it says. And he says, ask anything in my name. Well, I don't know about that. Well, you might say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if Jesus died for me. I hope so. You know, I'm going to die. He died on the cross for my sin. I think I'm forgiven. It's a crapshoot whether I'm saved. No, that's it. None of that. All that ties together. No, I am absolutely assured that I'm going to heaven because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God says, then you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. Now it's in Jesus' name according to his will, but that's because we're focused upon him carrying out what he says. But all of a sudden there's a power movement. And what Luke is doing, what's interesting in Luke, that different the other writers did it too. But what's interesting in Luke, he's just an old Gentile, non-Jewish guy. You know, he said, man, things are hopping over here in this Jewish community, and people are coming to know the Lord. He said, Micah, and all of a sudden, you see this power spreading to all the non-Jewish people. Non-Jew. You know, the world back then was like divided in biblically in two groups. You had Jews and non-Jews. That was it. Now, I think most everybody in here fits in the non-Jew category. You know, now, you may have some exceptions, all right? But, and so, Luke is a non-Jew. It's like, my gosh, what is this story with this Jesus that's carrying on that I'm seeing the Apostle Paul do great things? What is this story? You know, and what is this? The Holy Spirit. How many of you got the Holy Spirit all figured out? You know, do you know who speaks? Do you know what book speaks more about the Holy Spirit than any book in the Bible? Luke and Acts. Luke, the Gentile, said, man, oh man, who is this Holy Spirit? I write something down on this. I don't understand this. See, Luke, the Gentile, is telling us about what the Holy Spirit does. See, and it's what Jesus began, what he began to teach. And do. And Luke carries it on out to the church age. And it didn't end in the book. Well, we run out of paper in the book of Acts. It ended then. No, it did not. No, it did not. So it's an encouragement to us. Nothing is impossible to his people. Nothing. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. The same Bible that says, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Same Bible that says, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's what it says. So what I wanted to do is leave that with you this morning. When we go through Luke, we're not going to look at history. We're going to look at this, the current revelation of Jesus Christ that's continuing working today. It's continual. Like, we're going to see a little bit about John the Baptist, and we'll read about John the Baptist, but what we're going to look at is not so much what is Luke trying to figure out? He's trying to figure out Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so when he records the story, the account of John the Baptist, do you know what how he records this? An angel appears to John's father. You're going to have a son. You know, he goes home. Hey, Elizabeth, guess what? Guess what happened at the temple today? You know, and it's just, you got to be sure. Well, anyway, and then she gets pregnant. And she doesn't even go outside. She's like, nah, nobody's going to believe this because they're old. They don't believe this. See? And then what happens is that this child between John and Elizabeth is conceived and grows. And about 6 months down the road, now this is what Luke is figuring out. So you got this child, this miraculous child. He's trying, gosh. Then he goes on, he's talking to Mary. And Mary says, guess what? The same angel that saw John's dad, he came to see me too. Luke's going, no kidding. You know, yeah, he told me what his name was. Really? Yeah, it's Gabriel. Really, Gabriel. What Gabriel? Gabriel said I'm going to have a child. Really? Like Elizabeth? No, so I'm going to be a virgin. I'm a virgin. I'm going to have a child without a husband. Repeat that one more time. You know, it's like, and so she gives the details of her conception by the Holy Spirit. Luke goes, okay, you said the Holy Spirit. And then she says, then I went to see Elizabeth. You went, Luke goes, you went to see Elizabeth? Yeah. Says, after I was pregnant, I went to see Elizabeth. So I went over to see Elizabeth, and when I came in to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, oh, the maiden of the Lord, or something like that. Oh, you know, right off that, oh, the maiden of the Lord. You know, in the whole, in through the Spirit, she says, oh, the maiden of the Lord. And said, John, in her stomach, full of the Spirit, leaped. Things are changing. Things are changing. See, God said, I'm changing. The Holy Spirit, I'm changing. Jesus is coming. And John, which, you know, how many of you knew that John the Baptist and Jesus were like cousins? I don't know, you know. But John the Baptist is an infant. Full of this. Now think about this. All this has ramifications. Ramifications is an infant in her stomach when Jesus came into her presence, leaped. Full of the Spirit, leaped. See, God is moving, the Holy Spirit. So there, God is saying, when I move, I'm going to make things happen. Ask anything in my name, and I'm going to do it. So when we look at just the John the Baptist birth, we should be in awe. We should be in awe. And he comes, ask anything in my name. This motivates you to pray for your kids, doesn't it? Huh? I think probably you ladies, you know, you had a child leaping, and he ain't full of the Holy Spirit. He's just leaping, you know. But no. See, God touches these kids. So you gotta, anyway, the whole perspective changes. Whole perspective changes. The reason I bring that up, and we'll end here, is because, I will just read, it's a historical fact, that's what happened to John the Baptist. Go on, that's cool. No, that's real. And that is, I'm not saying there's going to be another John the Baptist, and there's definitely going to be another Jesus. But we see the magnitude of the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit with John the Baptist, Holy Spirit with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit within each believer to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's the message. See, and that's how, and he goes, and you know what he calls those people? He got a name for those people. The church. I mean, that's his church. I think, you know, sometimes a little faking going on, you know, but that's his church. That's what he's looking at. Amen? Hallelujah. So, y'all excited about Luke? Y'all excited about Luke? I promise you, no more history. All right? No more history. All right. All right. So we're going to see Luke. We're going to see what he investigates and what he learns. But it applies to our everyday life. It's not history for some other dispensation. Amen? And so this, we pay close attention to that. Then this helps us with our message. Again, and this, we went through this with moral clarity, that we understand for things to change, we move out, and God moves things through his power, and he changes things, and so we trust in him, right? And may I divert a little bit? It's like, well, we need Elizabeth to have a baby. Let's have a conference and figure out how to get this old lady pregnant. You know, that's not what happened. God moved and did it. And we really need a virgin over here pregnant, all right? We need two conferences on that one. No, God moves, and he moves, and we move after him on what he's telling us to do. So here today, what we're saying, God, move. You can do anything, ask anything, because, man, you did that with John the Baptist. You did that with Jesus, and Jesus is working to us, and Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us. Ask anything. Can I tell you one more story? See, I get started, and then I get one more story. One more. Just now quit. This is crazy to me. Jesus talks about John the Baptist. Okay, now, John the Baptist is just a regular guy. Okay, he had a mom and a dad, and he's just a regular guy. Okay, and he just went through. He's like an Old Testament prophet, and he's a powerful man of God. And so they come and they ask Jesus about John the Baptist. They just ask him, who's this guy? What is this guy? And he makes a statement. Now, John the Baptist is a regular guy. Now, Jesus is God. Okay, he's kind of got one up on John. Okay, God. When you're God, you know, you're kind of in a good spot. Okay, so he's God. He said, you want to know about John the Baptist? He said, let me tell you about John the Baptist. He said, there never was a man born of a woman in the kingdom greater than John the Baptist. No one. And then he goes on to say, you're the greatest in the kingdom. He calls the church the greatest in the kingdom. He said there was never anybody up to that point greater than John the Baptist. Okay? But those who trust in Jesus are greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was greater than any Old Testament. Now, this is why I say, look at it. John the Baptist is greater than any Old Testament prophet. That's, I mean, Jesus said that. I mean, well, I like Isaiah. Well, he's cool, you know. But Jesus said John the Baptist is the greatest. And what, in the specific word, what he said, John the Baptist, okay, is the greatest man born of woman. Greatest man. So he's, pick your prophet. Okay? John the Baptist is greater than the prophet you just picked. Okay? John the Baptist is greater than any prophet in the Old Testament. But the least in the kingdom, I'm going to say, I just want to volunteer to be least in the kingdom. Because what I like about being least in the kingdom is that I'm in the kingdom. You know, so that's good. I mean, I'm happy with least. If I'm in, you know, I just kind of want in, all right? So, but he says the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Process it. Process that. Now, Jesus said that. Process that. John is the greatest man born a woman. He said. But the least in the kingdom is greater than John. I want to tell you what he's telling us about. He's looking at you and said, you, least in the kingdom, are greater than Daniel. You, least in the kingdom, are greater than Isaiah. You, least in the kingdom, are greater than Jonah. You, least in the kingdom, are greater than David. Why? Because we have received Christ, and we have Christ in us, and Christ is the greatest. We're in the kingdom. Now, that's what Jesus said. Well, that was for another time, because there ain't no way I can figure that out. We just better give it somebody else. But you see what I'm saying? We should be really, really encouraged. And what Luke is saying, I'm going to investigate this. And he writes this down. But it's to apply for us today. Amen? So, hallelujah. So, we have a great message. Okay? This is what we tell everybody else. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. And by the way, you'll be the greater than all the Old Testament prophets. Amen? That's what it says. Hallelujah. It's for today. All right, let's pray. Give God thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Bible. We thank that you are your teacher. You know, I think about, you know, an old saint said that the world has yet to see what God will do through a man or woman who is totally committed to him. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth. And so, God, we just pray that we would be that man or woman. We just pray here in this room that we would be that man or woman and just be totally committed to you. And there would be unbelievable, unimaginable things that he can do through us for one reason, that we are totally committed to him. So God, we thank you. I just pray right now. I just pray the Holy Spirit just touch each person. I just say, come Holy Spirit, come. Touch each person, and that they would recognize who they are. That they would recognize who they are. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. Oh God, we give you thanks. And we're just excited about what you have for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Let's clap. Let's clap.